This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Democrats go to the polls today in a primary for the State House seat formerly held by House Speaker Robert DeLeo. Now, normally, State House seats are important to the people in the district, but they don't necessarily garner a lot of attention otherwise. And that would be even more the case when it's an off-cycle special election like this one. But that is not the case for the 19th Suffolk. It's the first time in about three decades that the seat representing Winthrop and Revere is open, and some really big names, from Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders to former presidential candidate Julian Castro, are weighing in. So why? Let's ask Stephanie Murray, author of The Politico Massachusetts Playbook. Stephanie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So Stephanie, this is a hot race. Why is it getting so much focus?
This race has, kind of exploded over the last week or so. In particular, there's a historical aspect. The seat was held by Speaker Robert DeLeo, the longest serving speaker in Massachusetts. And the winner of this race obviously won't go on to, be the speaker immediately, at least. There'll be a first-term lawmaker, but there's, a lot of history and kind of a legacy there. It's also a big opportunity, as you said, in the opener. This hasn't been a seat in play for three decades, so certainly some, ambition kind of pent up in Winthrop and Revere, and that's why you see four candidates jumping into this special election race. It's happening on a condensed timeline in an off year, but, it's gathered quite a bit of attention.
So we'll get to the candidates in a minute. I want to stay with this. Why is it a big deal? What you just laid out makes a lot of sense for why it's heated inside the district. But as we said at the top, there are big national names, two former Democratic presidential candidates, for example, and that's just a few of the names weighing in. So why is it so interesting and important outside the district?
Progressives from around the state and even outside are looking at this race as an opportunity to take a seat that was held by a powerful moderate and turn it to a progressive. And progressives have kind of coalesced around Juan Pablo Jaramillo, who is seen as kind of the preferred progressive candidate in the race. Bernie Sanders has endorsed him, Julian Castro, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, three candidates who are running for mayor of Boston. That election is coming in the fall. Not always the case that candidates, running in their own race would jump into another election, but certainly they want to be seen as supporting the progressive candidate. And in 2018, progressives challenged some incumbent lawmakers and had big success. And when they tried that model again in the fall of 2020, some of the progressive primary challengers lost to Democratic incumbents. So they're certainly kind of trying to dust that model off and try again here to add to their ranks on Beacon Hill, especially in the House, still pretty dominated by moderate Democrats.
Yes, I was going to ask you that. Would putting a more progressive candidate in that seat tip the balance in the state house at all? Or is it more just momentum and signaling?
I would say more momentum and signaling. They're, the cohort of progressives is still small compared to the moderates, but their ranks are growing. But it is still a pretty tough uphill climb for Jaramillo, the progressive candidate, because of the way that the district is made up. So it's Winthrop and Revere, but only it's all of Winthrop and then part of Revere, and he's from Revere, while the other three Democrats running are from Winthrop, which historically has higher turnout, which might give them an edge, even though they're kind of splitting up the city a little bit.
Okay, so you've told us a little bit about Juan Jaramillo, the really progressive candidate from Revere. Tell us about these three Democratic candidates from Winthrop.
So you have Jeffrey Turco, who describes himself as a Reagan Democrat. He is the most kind of conservative Democrat of the bunch. He has been hit by NARAL pro-choice for some past anti-abortion comments he's made. And he is, for example, opposed to the Safe Communities Act, which is an immigration bill in Massachusetts. The three other Democrats running support it, for example. So he's kind of seen as the more conservative candidate. He's also the best or the most well-funded in the race. He's given his campaign $25,000, which is quite a bit, especially in one of these special state legislative elections. So there's Turco, and then you have Alicia Del Vento, also of Winthrop, who is a former state house aide, and Valentino Capobianco, who was on the Winthrop School Committee, and he was recently accused of sexual misconduct in a story from GVH News last week. In the final kind of days of the race that happened, some were wondering if he would drop out. He has denied most of the allegations, but has stayed in the race.
I just a little bit from his statement in response to those allegations, quote, "It is deeply personally embarrassing to see some dumb college behavior also be raised. I will own my own mistakes. I was not predatory. I was overly enthusiastic texting someone I had a crush on. That is juvenile behavior of a nerdy kid." It's a longer statement, so obviously addressing those things head on, but it has affected his standing in the race and endorsements of the candidates, has it not?
That's right. He lost endorsements from Attorney General Maura Healey and Congressman, former Congressman Joe Kennedy, and his former boss. So Capobianco used to be the chief of staff to State Senator Paul Feeney. Feeney also withdrew his endorsement in the wake of these allegations becoming public.
All right. And again, unusual to see endorsements at that level, at the Maura Healey level, for example, of a state house race. And is it unusual to see major politicians in the state withdraw or have to drop an endorsement?
Yeah, this is certainly, you know, a level of attention and scrutiny on a state representative race compared to others. And these special elections are also pretty common. A Mass Inc. report has pointed out that more than a quarter of the entire state legislature is elected through these special elections, you know, happening on an off year because somebody left office, resigned, retired, moved on, something like that. It's also, I just want to underscore how few votes it takes to win one of these races. Turnout is pretty low compared to a presidential election or, you know, regularly scheduled elections. So the winner of this primary and in this deep blue district, most of the action will be in the primary. The winner is expected to probably win in the general election on March 30th. You can kind of get through with 10,000, 15,000 votes.
Do you get a sense that depending on who the candidate is, that might affect turnout in the general election?
That's a good question. I am not sure. So there are two candidates running in the general election as well, Republican Paul Crugio and the independent candidate Richard Fusillo. But it really does feel like the attention is on the primary here.
Okay, before we let you go, I do want to shift gears and spend a couple of minutes on another thing that we're watching, and I know you're watching, and that is that Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone announced yesterday that he would not run for another term. He has served about 18 years as the mayor of Somerville. I believe he's the longest serving executive in the history of that city. He told WBUR's Bob Oakes this morning it's too early for him to decide his next step, but there's a lot of speculation going on. So two-part question. Part one, were you surprised to hear Curtatone say almost a year before the end of his term that he's not going to run again?
I think it's certainly interesting. He got asked this question yesterday if he was thinking about running for governor in 2022. You know, if he were to do that, this is kind of a convenient time to start ramping down as mayor and preparing for someone else. But he called that question science fiction. Of course, never say never. He has emerged as one of the loudest critics to Governor Charlie Baker over the coronavirus pandemic, the handling of it, and the handling of the vaccine rollout over the past month or two. So he's someone I would certainly keep an eye on for that.
Has he given any reason for choosing not to run for mayor again?
I mean, that's kind of what I'm wondering. I mean, he's been mayor for quite some time, I think since 2004. And he actually kind of fits in with a trend of a bunch of mayors across the state who are saying that they're not going to seek another term. There's Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse, who just got tapped to be the Provincetown Town Administrator, the mayor of North Adams, the mayor of Northampton, the mayor of Lawrence just left to take a job, a state government job. And of course, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is on his way to becoming Secretary of Labor in the Biden administration. So he fits into this kind of trend of mayors moving on.
All right. Well, that is Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook. Stephanie, great to watch the races with you, or the maybe the races yet to come. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks.